What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts,
and Catherine
and Caroline.
We are at home, which is the perfect space to talk about this week's topic, which is going to be taking breaks to avoid burnout.
Yeah, this topic was definitely inspired by the fact that we were coming home this weekend, and it just feels like very prevalent to how we're feeling right now.
Yeah.
A little bit of a backstory. Our dad has been living in Singapore for the past 3 months now. And so we literally haven't seen him in 3 months. He got home
Two days ago? 2 days ago.
And so he flew into the Boston airport. We saw him for breakfast when he was there in Boston. Our mom came in. It was a whole family reunion, big gathering.
For like an hour
before they drove home. We finished up our school day Friday. And then Saturday afternoon, we got on a bus and we came home and here we are.
Here we are. And I'm loving it. Honestly, like, this was so...
So what? What are you thinking?
It's just been nice to be home and, like, have space and time to myself.
I don't know.
In college, you just genuinely do not have space.
It doesn't, yeah, nothing kind of feels like
it's
yours.
And there's nothing you can do to remedy that, honestly.
I mean, even there, and Catherine and I are literally roommates. We share a room.
Shut up, I don't want to talk.
Like, we sleep in beds across from each other. And at home, it's nice because you, like, you more so choose when you want to be around a person. Like, you have somewhere to go, like, your room.
Like, we
literally
have no time.
That's
to
just your
from
own. So, very nice. We are both in Catherine's room right now.
It seems Guys, to this be, is where we started the
it
podcast.
It seems to be the designated recording studio when we come home. But the thing is, I always have this vision of, like, recording the podcast in bed or on a couch. Like,
yeah, I don't know why she wants to do that.
Sitting down, being really comfortable. Because it's just like...
No, I hate that.
Because
it
feels less formal to me. It feels like if I'm just like having a conversation and letting the words come out of me, like to be sitting on a bed or a couch and just be like really comfortable.
I'm sitting in a chair right now at my desk, like one leg up. I'm like leaning over the desk.
Yes,
I'm super comfortable.
You're also comfortable. It's really funny that I'm sitting on a bed right now and in Catherine's mic cord is stretched all the way across the room so that she can be sitting at her desk because we just have different visions about how we want to be seated while we record.
Anyway,
Stanley's also here with us right now. He's right on the bed with me. He's cuddling with me and he's wearing a Christmas sweater.
He's wearing a Christmas sweater because he got his hair cut yesterday and I went to pick him up and oh my God. Kid is absolutely naked.
This is what happened. Stanley, he's a Wheaton Terrier, so he's hypoallergenic.
Stanley's our dog, for anyone that's,
yeah.
For anyone that's new here.
He's
Stanley's
naked.
Our dog.
He's our dog. He's hypoallergenic, so he has hair, not fur, and so it'll just grow forever. And so sometimes he's a real fluff ball, but then sometimes they shave him, and he's like such short hair. And so
that's
it's
where
almost
he's at
like,
right now.
It's almost like two different dogs because... I swear his personality literally changes. Like, when he's a shaved Stanley,
well,
he gets...
Well, he's, like, scared and all skittish right
He's almost,
right
like,
now.
A little bit embarrassed.
He's, like, embarrassed.
It makes him a little, like, skittish and stuff. So we put a Christmas sweater on him to, you know, kind of cover him up. Give him a little bit of respect, decency, whatever you want to call it. So, but it's adorable. We've had this sweater for, like, 2 years. He used to hate it. I'm surprised he's even letting it be on him, but he seems to be enjoying it.
No, he's super cuddly right now.
Yeah, it's the best.
All right. What went down this week, though?
I think it was a pretty good week, actually.
I actually did have a really good week. All right. So if you guys remember, my goal from last week was to make myself a little bit more of a priority and to do some more things for myself because for a couple weeks there, I was not doing that and it was really getting to me. So made that a priority this week. And I think it really helped that a couple of my classes were actually canceled this week. So I got more time available so that I can, you know, go for a walk or listen to a podcast, stuff like that. And it was just really helpful and gave me a little bit more just like life back in my life. Does that make sense? Instead of just being a robot, like I got outside a lot. I got to like see a couple more people and I don't know, just really beneficial, even though it wasn't like a major change. Like I felt so good this week compared to the last couple weeks.
That's really good.
So that was good.
I think there are honestly, the more I'm thinking about it, there's like a lot of things to be grateful for or happy about this week.
Yeah.
One, our dad coming home, like we said. Our family hasn't been together in like 3 months, so.
Which I guess like everyone at school is like, it's been a couple months. Yeah. And he left like a month before we went to school.
Yeah.
But he's been living across the world.
Yeah. And there's like a 12-hour time difference. And our family's pretty close. Like, we're always talking and texting and calling. And so with the time difference and with us literally all being spread across, we just haven't been able to talk as much. So it's nice to all be back together. I'm also grateful for Stanley being right next to me.
I'm grateful that he's cuddly.
Yeah, he missed us, though.
Oh, my God. He missed us.
And
he's a cute guy. He's so cute. I just posted a picture of him on the Girls with Goals podcast story saying that he was our guest for this week. Also, if you guys aren't following that, at Girls with Goals pod, go follow it. Go follow our personal accounts, at Anne Catherine Kinnean, at Caroline Kinnean. You know the drill. It's also down below in the little show notes.
Yes.
We love to hang out with you there as well.
Another thing, and Catherine said that some of her classes were canceled. Some of mine were too, to the point where I literally got a surprise 5-day weekend, or almost, kind of. Because my Wednesday was really light. My Thursday, I don't have classes anyways. And then on Friday, one of my classes was moved online. One of them was canceled. And so, like, in a sense, I kind of, like, built myself a 5-day weekend. And so I feel like I've had actually a lot of time at this point to take a step back from school. The weeks before were, like, midterm-ish weeks.
Yeah,
and
honestly,
so they were really, really busy and stressful.
I feel like we talked about this in the last episode, but we were talking to one of our friends that goes to a different school, and he was saying the exact same thing about how maybe, like, 3 weeks ago,
Or two.
For a couple weeks, he was absolutely just down astronomical. And so were we. So were like all of our friends, because midterms and everything, I think it was just like the peak of this semester if you're still in school or just life. It was like a very busy time. But I'm feeling so much better. And I hope you guys are feeling so much better.
Yeah, I definitely got a little bit of a break with that. So that was good.
Oh, also, that's so crazy. You took a break.
Yes. Well,
this week's topic, in a sense, we're taking breaks to avoid burnout. Before we do, what's one of your goals for this week?
Well, this is embarrassing to say, but my goal is...
I have no idea what she's about to say.
It's just the same goal as last week because I didn't do it. No. My goal last week...
That's not embarrassing. Guys, embarrassment is not real. It's a choice. Choose not to.
Embarrassment is not real, as in Catherine's favorite quote. She says it all the time. But my goal last week was to buy myself a new journal and start journaling consistently every day again because I was, like, running out of journal space, and so I stopped doing it. And I didn't do it. I just never, like, found a store to go get myself a nice journal. And there actually is a store at home that I know, like, has cute, like, paper product, things like that. So I'm going to try to go there. But I didn't do it. But what I did was that a couple days this week, I did still journal. And I just, like, used extra pages in notebooks. But I wasn't consistent every day. And I didn't get myself a nice new journal like I wanted. But that's okay. You know, sometimes we don't do things on the exact timeline that we wanted to. Or things don't work out exactly how we wanted them to. But we just shift our focus and pivot. And I will go downtown tomorrow to the store that I'm thinking of and get myself a new journal. I also just thought, when I was just talking about kind of changing plans and shifting, this week was so weird for me with workouts because I just slept in every morning, which was so nice for me. And also because I had those like extra days off of school and I didn't really have to get up early on some days. I did afternoon workouts almost every single day this week. And
I kind of liked it.
Yeah. And like, I feel much more productive during my day when I do a morning workout. Like, I do think that my overall day is consistently better when I do a morning workout, but I still really liked the vibe of the afternoon workout, and it was nice to sleep in more often. So I don't know, maybe moving forward I'll work in some more afternoon workout days.
You know what I don't did know that I will not stop talking about? I did a night workout. I'm talking like I was walking to the gym at 9 p.m.
That is so late.
It was so fun though. Definitely not like an everyday thing because that is severely past my bedtime, but
I think it's the excitement of like something different too.
Right.
So if you're feeling that, like,
shut up.
Totally switch
Take
your
a break,
time
switch
a little
it
bit
up to avoid burnout. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It makes it new
this
and exciting.
Is exactly what we're about to talk about. All right. Let me just get my goal really fast because it's kind of like Caroline's.
In a little bit.
Guys, I'm so excited. I posted on my story a while ago. I was working on this a while ago, like 2 days ago. I was working on
You can literally hear the excitement in her voice because she can't get words out.
Right. I was working on a secret project and I asked you guys to guess what it was and no one guessed it. But I am making a journal slash planner for you. And I'm so excited. And that's all you're getting now. More details to come.
I'm honestly surprised that you already announced that, but let's keep this like within just the podcast squad right now. Like, don't share it on Instagram or anything yet. It's too soon. But everyone in this secret club.
To say that?
No, they can know. Everyone in this are like in our podcast circle.
Right.
They can know.
Guys, top secret information. Guard it with your life.
Okay. More to come, but
That's all.
And Catherine's good at this stuff. Like,
baby, we got thought.
Oh, sin translation. Maybe I asked for
my
too much.
Too much. Baby, love was a masterpiece, and I tore it all up.
And Catherine doesn't know the words, but she was singing it with as much passion as someone
who knows the words. All right,
no, the one we've been singing.
It's
going on TikTok right now. There's always a Taylor Swift song going on TikTok.
Oh, please don't. Please don't be in love with someone else. Please don't have somebody waiting on you.
So, yeah.
So,
so let's talk about taking breaks to avoid burnout. Because,
baby, we're feeling a little bit burnt out.
And this recently. This goes for a lot of different things, a lot of different aspects of life, but I have learned in my life that sometimes when you feel yourself like creeping towards a breaking point or like starting to get there, sometimes you have to force yourself to take small breaks before you have to, because if you don't force yourself to before, then you're going to hit a point where you literally have to for whatever reason, physical or mental, and you're not going to be able to get back up after them. So sometimes you have to take small, frequent breaks so that you can actually keep going longer and stronger in the long run and not, you know, hit a point where you just shut down and you are literally forced to take the break. So something I thought about, like, think about school, for example. What if you didn't have regular weekends and you had to go to high school or whatever every single day for months? Like, you could horrendous. Probably keep up with it for a little while because you had to, but then by the time where you physically, like, can't take it anymore and you have to take a break,
it's
2 days wouldn't be enough,
right?
Like, once you stopped, once you hit that breaking point, it's so difficult to be able to get back up and go again, and it also turns the thing so negative. So by taking these more frequent breaks, you can consistently recharge, reset, kind of shift your perspective, and then you can get up and go again, and you can keep moving forward longer, stronger, faster, whatever it is.
So there are a lot of ways that this can relate to the gym, and one of the most, like, obvious is rest days. So taking weekly rest days, scheduling them in, programming them into your workout split, allowing your body to recover so it can get ready to just get up and go again and go even stronger and even better. That said, if you have an unplanned day where you feel like you need some rest, being proactive and taking a rest day when you're feeling a lot more tired, more sore, drained, whatever it is, if your body needs an extra rest day in addition to the ones that you've planned, go ahead and take it.
If you physically feel
like you need it, be proactive about it. And then the next day, you're going to be ready to go. And you're going to get so much more out of that workout than you would had you tried to push yourself through a workout when you mentally or physically were tired.
Yeah, and I like that you said being proactive, because I think that if you don't schedule in rest days and proactively take them sometimes, then it kind of becomes this game of like, how long can I go
until I
physically can't anymore? And if you do that, once you hit that point where you have to take a break, I promise you, like, you're not going to be able to take one day off and then bounce back and do it again, because you force yourself to go for, like, I don't know, however long, just, like, go until you couldn't anymore. one day is not a long enough break to then bounce back and come back just as strong as you were before, if not stronger, like you want to. Whereas if you don't 110% need a break when you take one, you're gonna like, you'll still be at 50% and then you'll recharge to 110 versus right. being at zero and only being able to recharge back up to 50, you know? So being proactive and taking those steps back, taking those little breaks will make sure that in the long run, you're actually doing more, making more progress, going longer. I also think about this a lot when it comes around like the holiday season and things like that, because people are usually concerned or questioning like, what if I take a few extra days off around the holidays? What if I go on a week-long vacation and I don't have access to a gym and all of that? And I totally understand the mental aspect of that, where you might be questioning like, oh, what's going to happen to my body? What's going to happen to the physical, mental progress that I've made? But those few days, a year is 365 days, right? So this extra week or 3 days or 5 days or whatever time you might like be forced to take off is just a fraction of that. And so I always think that if you have that time period where you don't have a choice, like you don't have access to a gym, you physically don't have the time because you're like with family 24/7, then lean into that rest period and allow yourself the space to recharge if you are in that situation, rather than fighting it, fighting that time when you actually have the break and then coming back on the other side and you haven't had that opportunity to recharge and you're probably just gonna like hit a wall again on the other side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like we say, when it comes to rest days and time off and things like that, it should never be an excuse, right? We're not saying take 5 rest days a week every week.
Like, you need to have some definition of like what you want and your goals, and you need to know when to push yourself just that little bit harder. Maybe if it takes you a little bit more to get in the gym. But the other side of that is you need to know when to back off. So it's not, maybe not every time.
It's not It's not making excuses, but it's making sure you're having the right balance.
And I think you, like, deep down, you know, you do know the difference.
Yeah.
You know, if you're having to ask the question, I think you already know the answer. You know, I feel like we've gotten a lot of double take questions about how do you know when you're sore to take a rest day or push through. I feel like that question comes in all the time. And I can't really answer that for you because I don't know how your body's feeling. I don't know how your mind's feeling. Only you know that. So only you can make that decision for you. And you know the answer.
So let's talk about how this topic of taking a break to avoid burnout can apply to friends or family or people in your life. Because just like you can have too much of a thing, I think that you can also have
too much of a person.
Too much of a person. Too much of people. And I think we've all been there when you can start getting annoyed with a person or arguing with them more than you usually do. Even if you like
or
them.
Or just
even
the little things. Yeah. Maybe the little things that originally you liked about a person start to annoy you. Take a break, take a breather.
Just because you've like had too much of them, right? And it's like, this can happen with friends and with parents and with siblings, where you kind of reach a point where you've been around them for too long without a break.
It's just too much, and that's okay. That's normal. It happens. And
right? It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you hate this person or all of a sudden you don't want to be friends with them. But just like you can have too much of a thing, you can have too much of a person. And all it takes is a little bit of a step back, a little bit of space to yourself for a moment to come back and then jump right back into a great relationship, you know?
I think I like what you said about it doesn't mean you hate the person. I think that's something that I need to, like, think a little bit more about. I'm so quick to
get sick of someone and
get sick of them forever. Does that make sense? Like, not in a...
But, like, once your mind goes there...
Once my mind goes there, like, to the extreme, obviously not, like, oh, I'm so frustrated with this person, like, one day. But if it's maybe, like, a little bit more of a prolonged period of being frustrated and sick of someone, I'm just...
That's why I think that it's also really good to have a lot of balance in your friendships and have a lot of different friends and also like a lot of different types of friends, you know, like you have your core best friends that are always going to be there, but to also keep your circle wide enough that you have a lot of other people who you enjoy spending time with. Because look, and Catherine and I are big on keeping your circle small with very like high value people. We don't really like to spread ourselves thin with a lot of people who don't really value us or who we don't really find value in. We like to have
strong
relationships,
deeper, more genuinely supportive
friendships
and relationships.
But what I'm saying is, at the same time, it's also good to have like enough people in your circle that you don't feel like you're with the same like one or two people constantly, and you never have a breather, you never have a break, because
or never even have like an opportunity to you know what I mean,
right? Because that's when
to have a breather, have a break,
because that's when a really good friendship is gonna like have some negativity creep in, because even though it's like a really great relationship, there's just a thing of having too much of a person, you know?
And sometimes for me, I find that independent time does not cut it if I'm like frustrated with a specific person or couple people. What helps in that situation is, yes, just like spending time on your own and away from them. But spending time with other different people instead helps like clear your frustration a little bit. And I find that that really helps me when I'm in that situation. If I like just separate myself, take a few days off of hanging out with them and maybe hang out with some different people instead, it's gonna prevent me from getting overly sick of specific people.
It's very natural and normal though to have too much of a person, but I think in the sense of this episode being taking breaks to avoid burnout, it's important to talk about like not only like kind of what to do if you when find yourself getting annoyed with someone, but how to take breaks and make sure you have a balance beforehand so that you avoid that, because no one wants to get to that point with a sibling or a family member or a best friend where they get really annoyed with them. You don't want that. So by just working more of that independent time into your life, making sure that you have multiple people that you can go to hang out with, to share things about your life, maybe people that bring different opinions to the table, some different perspectives, you know, having a little bit more of a diverse group of friends where you have different people that you can go to for different things.
Where it's not just to totally keep it all saturated balanced with one type of person, that is so exhausting at times. All right, so maybe we can apply all these same things to nutrition and eating healthy. If you're, I mean, we say this all the time with being strict about food. If you're strict, it's going to backfire on you a little bit. If you don't give yourself at least a little bit of flexibility once in a while, that like rigid, healthy, quote unquote, healthy lifestyle, if you are too strict about it and don't give yourself any leeway,
any flexibility
to, even if you're out at a restaurant, sometimes it's hard. If you're like at a family dinner, sometimes it's hard to eat
the way that you might
cook at home. I understand that completely. I'm in that situation every time we go out to dinner. But when you allow yourself flexibility and proactively take away the stigma you may have around it, and
the rules
that you've made for yourself,
where you fail if you don't do it
right, the
way,
positive and negative affiliations, you can keep your core values of what you want to be
eating and fueling
your body with. But when you're not too strict about it, if you have a couple days
or a meal or a snack that maybe doesn't fully align,
right, totally fine, and it's not gonna mentally or physically hinder the progress you want to make. And that's, again, goes back to the being proactive about it. If you just work on not, and I know it takes so long and it takes a lot of effort and patience to get to this point, but working on allowing yourself to be flexible and allowing yourself to not feel the emotions that come with a super strict diet and eating habits, that's gonna help you in the long run, because I know at least for me, if I've been in a mindset where I'm a little bit strict, when a meal or a snack or something that maybe doesn't fit my rules that I've set for myself, a couple things happen. Either I get super upset and I like am too frustrated with myself to continue to like eat healthy and stay on the path I've set for myself, and then all my work for like a couple days goes away. Or I'll just be like, oh well, I had one bad snack, let's just turn the rest of the day into like bad eating habits.
So if instead you don't have all of these strict rules, but you just have these core values that you want to nourish your body, you want to feel good, you learn enough about nutrition to know the kinds of things that you want to be eating, but you don't have like super strict rules about it, then you're not going to feel that guilt when you do kind of stray from that. And also, if you're allowing yourself to have that flexibility in your day-to-day lifestyle, then you're not going to feel the need to have a big cheat day. You're not going to feel the need to slip up once and then go all in and start this like binge and restrict cycle.
I think
like,
it really can be dangerous. I think it always surprises people if, you know, asking for advice about how to help with, you know, binging and restricting, when the answer is
to listen to your
cravings sometimes. To listen to your body and to lean in a little bit sometimes.
Right.
And to allow yourself to eat those foods rather than to, I think the immediate coping mechanism is just get stricter and stricter and stricter. Right. And that is just forcing yourself further into that habit.
Right. If you tell yourself that you can absolutely never have something again, but it's something that you love and that your body craves sometimes,
You're going to want it way more. Inevitably,
at some point, you're going to give in and you're going to have it, but you're not going to be able to just have one. You're going to have all of it, and it's going to backfire. Whereas, it's never about fully cutting anything out of your life.
Ever.
Unless it's like, I mean, like drugs or something, you know? Like, unless it's like something super extreme.
Unless it's like a life-threatening allergy.
Right. Unless it's something super extreme, it's never about fully cutting something out of your life. The more that you start to replace things with more nutritious foods, the more that you make that your lifestyle, you're going to have cravings for the junkier foods way less often. And you're like not even going to want those things much. But when you do have a chocolate craving or a sweet craving or something, find a way that satisfies that, that can maybe like still feel nutritious for you, or just satisfy it the way that you want to in that moment. Because if you don't, then it's all going to pile up and it's going to come later all at once.
So that's the whole, you know, everyone talks about like 80-20, finding balance. If you're eating healthy, staying on track, I hate that term, but if you're staying on track, you're eating your fruits, you're eating your vegetables, you're hitting your protein, like, you're cooking for yourself, you're doing well, feeling good with it, 80-ish percent of the time, you're good to 20% of the time. If you want to eat a little bit less healthy, you want to, like, get a brownie. I don't know, I'm, like, making this up. If you want to, like, eat quote-unquote bad foods, if you have a craving for something,
you can keep that balance.
That's totally okay. As long as you're, like, keeping the balance and it's in moderation, you know?
People like to say the 80-20 rule because the whole idea...
That's not a strict number. It's just an idea.
It's an idea. The whole idea of that is just that you're keeping balance in your everyday life where you're eating very nourishing, healthy foods the majority of the time, but you're giving self that flexibility, whether it's 20% or 10% or whatever.
And sometimes that 20% is, like, mentally nourishing.
Yeah, no one's counting.
Like, that 20% would be tonight, we're having like a family dinner.
Steak, potatoes, apple pie,
and ice cream. Right? Like, yeah, it's going to taste good, but also what comes with that is like, we're all hanging out, having family dinner.
Right. And to live that balanced life and to get a lot more things out of life, you can't be 100% and nothing else. You have to have a little bit of flexibility. So that's why people like 80-20, because guess what? If you didn't do 80-20 and you tried to be 100-100-100, then all of a sudden one day you're going to hit zero and you're going to be 0% healthy and you're not going to be able to bring yourself back up. So by keeping a balance throughout your day-to-day life, it's way less likely that you're ever going to have like a super duper like cheat binge sort of situation. You're never going to hit that.
Right, and that's the
super
whole
low.
That's it goes back. It all comes back. It's the same thing applied in different ways. If you allow yourself to be a little bit more flexible proactively, you're not going to hit that point where it's all or nothing.
So what about literally everything else in life? The burnout can be real.
Oh, it can be so real.
School, work.
Trying to balance everything is when you're like, holy shit, that's a lot.
Something that has really been on my mind recently is that, like, existing as an adult or a functioning person is already something a full-time been, job in itself.
Something that's been on my mind recently is, like, existing? That shit's tough.
Literally, because
there's like, just so much.
There is so much that goes into just being a basic, core,
it's so
functioning
complex.
Human being. Like, on top of, like, feeding and watering, like hydrating,
like you just have to be eating.
You have
and,
like you have
doing laundry. I'm
yeah,
sorry,
you have all
that
these
gets
basic needs: doing laundry, keeping your house clean. But then to survive, like you need to have a job, you need to be making money, and then what? You need to have like health insurance and car insurance, and God, you need to get a car, and you need to like.
Hey, Caroline, let's reel it in.
And you need to. What else was I thinking? Like taxes.
God, we
like,
don't have. We don't. We don't need a car. We live in a city. We don't need a car.
Right, but I'm talking about, like, the general effort that goes into just being
existing.
A human being is
holy
already
shit,
a
that's
lot.
A lot.
And then we all put so much other stuff on our plates.
Right.
Which is necessary because, like, you need to learn stuff and be educated. You need to have a job to make money. And then you want to have hobbies and passions mm-hmm. because that's going to be
fulfilling
to you.
That's the spice in life.
But it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And so it makes sense that we get burnt out in all aspects of life.
Just
sometimes.
Because this is what sometimes gets me. It's because subliminally, you're doing a lot, right? And sometimes you don't even realize it because the life stuff that you just talked about, like, you don't think about that as, like, things that you have to do, right? Like, you think of that as, oh, that's just the baseline and it's
yeah.
like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go see my friends. That's the extras. Those are the bonuses. Those are the little add-on features of life. You still got to be doing all the other
life
stuff that like keeps it going, right?
I'm surprised that we're all doing as well as we are doing.
Given the circumstances.
Given the circumstances of what it takes to be a functioning human. Like, we are all killing it.
Guys, pat yourself on the back right now. Look
honestly,
yourself in the mirror,
like,
up and
do
down.
You a lot. You work damn
you
hard
go,
and you do a
girl.
Lot every day just to be who you are and to keep yourself going. And then to keep yourself happy and fulfilled and educated
Oof.
And productive
right.
on top of that, it's a lot.
You're doing a lot.
And
it's worth it.
You,
it's worth it, but it's a lot regardless. So how
so
do you figure that one out?
You have to know when you feel things becoming too much and before you hit that breaking point and before they
what
actually
do we say?
Become too much.
Be proactive.
Be proactive. You need to take a step back and take a break before you physically need one. That's something that I struggle with a lot, though, is forcing myself to take a break with things before I reach a breaking point
right.
sometimes. Because
a lot of
the
times
moment,
it's stuff that I want to keep doing.
Right, it's stuff that you really care about and you want to keep doing. And you feel like you could do it in that moment,
mm-hmm.
but then the next day, you might not be able to get
mm-hmm.
up and do it again, right? Always think about, like, yes, I can
Girl,
really
get up.
Push through and
Girl,
do this now.
Get
it's
up.
Like, it's like if you wake up at 6 a.m. in a day and then you work hard all day and then you work late into the night pulling an all-nighter doing work and you're like, maybe
you might, in the moment, you might feel okay.
Maybe you can get yourself through that in the moment.
You're not going to be able to get yourself out of bed and function the whole tomorrow.
Right.
Because you just, girl, you just did 2 full days in one.
Right. Like, things are going to impact you after. So it's about being proactive and taking those breaks to avoid burnout before it happens.
So what do we take from this episode? We took be proactive. We took act before it happens. And once again, be proactive. And you know what else? You need to take the steps to prevent this shit.
Be
proactive.
All right. Welcome to
the Double Take. Question one. Hey, I love the podcast and was wondering if you could talk about feeling lost during your fitness journeys. I felt on top of it and thought I was making a lot of progress, but then I got overwhelmed because I'm still not where I want to be. Sometimes I just feel like what I'm doing isn't working anymore and I feel stuck. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say about this feeling. First of all, thank you for saying you love the podcast because we love you and we love making this for you.
I honestly can relate to this a lot. I think Catherine and I both have felt like physically at a plateau for a while now. Would you agree?
Oh, but then sometimes I like catch a glimpse and I'm like, oh, my shoulders didn't look like that 6 months ago. That's right. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
But in the moment, I'm like, nothing's changing.
Sometimes it's easy to trick yourself into thinking that you're not making any progress because you see yourself every day. Your body fluctuates every day due to
your
being bloated or not bloated, being a little tanner.
I have been violently bloated and violently pale recently. And let me just tell you,
that'll
mess with your head.
Yeah. So sometimes just because you're literally looking at yourself every day, you might not think you're making progress. That's why it can be cool to take progress pictures so that you can see over time the actual difference you're making. But sometimes you might actually be at a plateau where I feel like I actually have been kind of at a plateau for like a while now.
Physically, while I was at a plateau, but I don't think I could have, right? Because of like, I was so busy with other things.
You weren't in the place.
I wasn't in the place to like continue to push myself harder and harder and harder. And I was just kind of like using the gym for an example I was using it as like a sense of stability. Gotcha. And because of that, I wasn't in the position to continue to push myself or take like physique type goals, you know?
Right. So something that is super important is progressive overload when you're weightlifting, which means that over time you are lifting heavier or you're lifting more reps or you're decreasing rest time. Something over time that makes it more challenging and challenges your body, because nothing changes if nothing changes. If you're not adding a little, like as your body adapts and it gets stronger, if you're not then changing what you're doing to make it just a little bit more challenging for you, then you can't expect your body to make changes because you're telling it, you know, you are doing everything I need you to do exactly as you are right now. Versus if you got to a point where you were comfortable lifting a certain weight and then you added a couple pounds to it or you added a couple reps to it, you're telling your body, hey, I want to get a little stronger. Hey, I want to do this. You know what I'm saying? So that's why progressive overload is really important. Yeah, I know what you're saying. If maybe you're in a position where you have been trying to lose fat and you've been in a calorie deficit and you've been there for a really long time, maybe you're experiencing some metabolic adaptation, which means that your metabolism has adapted to that lower set calorie point that you've been giving it. At that point, look into reverse dieting and taking a period of time to bring your calories back up and to help your metabolism adapt so that, you know, you can be effective again.
There's so much in episode number 5 that could be of help to you, because obviously your personal, like how you go about this depends so much on where you're at personally and stuff that we don't know.
Right.
About you from just one little DM. But episode 5, I'm telling you.
Yes. If maybe you're just feeling kind of burnt out or lost with your routine, maybe switch up your routine. Try something a little bit new. Maybe you're just feeling burnt out that way and, you know, you need to change it up a little bit.
I'd love if you touched on injuries and setbacks from goals in the Double Take. It's kind of having a mental toll on me right now.
I think I might have more to say this about in Catherine, because I feel like I've experienced more minor injuries in the past few years. But over the summer, I was experiencing an injury with my hip where it was like on and off hip pain, but it was really preventing me from doing a lot of things. You know, I really wanted to run a lot over the summer and build my endurance back up with running. And I was so excited about it mentally, but physically, I just couldn't do it because of my hip. And so I understand how frustrating that is when you like are so mentally ready and wanting to do something and it's setting you back. And honestly, I don't really have like the perfect answer for it because I don't think there's anything that's going to make it not frustrating. But if you can find some sort of movement that you can still do with whatever injury that you have that is going to kind of fill that space in your life, help you mentally and physically.
You were spinning a lot during your.
Yeah, then do that. You know, when I was having that problem, I found that I could still spin. I could still do some lower body lifting that wouldn't hurt it. I could still do
Upper body.
upper body, right? So there are ways to work around usually whatever your injury is
Give
and
you a
to
little,
still be
like,
moving.
quick fix.
Yeah, so I would definitely experiment and try to find the things that you can do. Also, like we said before, sometimes if you are being forced to take a rest period and you don't have a choice, then there's really no use in fighting it because you're not going to get that long period of rest really ever again. So it's kind of like if it's being given to you, sometimes just lean into it, let yourself rest and come back. But I mean, I would say to try to find the workouts and the movement and the activities that you can still do to work around your injury as you heal it, because the most important thing is healing that injury. If
And
you
you'll
try
be
to jump,
back and
yeah.
better than ever if you do it right.
If you let it heal, if you try to jump back in too fast, you'll just re-injure yourself and prolong it, which is never what we want. So
Never
definitely
ever.
prioritize recovering and the actual injury itself.
How do you ease seasonal depression and the burnout that comes with it? Girl, let me tell you. Last year's seasonal depression, I would bundle up and just take long ass walks and get some fresh air.
Yeah, I can definitely relate with this seasonal depression. When the winter gets cold in New England, it definitely takes a toll on me because you know you're getting less sunshine. The world's just a little bit uncomfortable because
The
you're
world's
cold
a
all the
little bit
time.
less
Life
saturated.
is just a little more uncomfortable because you're cold. Right. And that's actually something that I'm trying to focus on a lot this winter is to not let that get to me because
You know what
historically
I
I've let
found,
it really take
though?
a toll on me.
I found, so living in Boston throughout the winter last year, you know, the cold's not stopping anyone. Like, everyone's out and about. Like, you have to walk everywhere, be outside, just bundle up, wear a couple extra layers. Seasonal depression didn't hit as hard as it has for me in the past
When you've just
when
been
you
at
just, like,
home.
can't, when going outside is not really an option. Does that make sense? I don't know. So,
Try to stay doing the
stay
things that
doing
you usually
things.
do and then lean in like when you aren't doing
Lean
things.
into
Like
the things that maybe you can't do during the summer, like
lean into the cozy vibe.
baking. That's something that I would only ever really think about doing in the winter because it's cozy and, like, lean into it.
So try to keep yourself doing as much as you can, you know, still living your life. Don't let the cold weather stop your life. Maybe do activities that you can only do or you would only want to do in the colder climate. You know, if you like to go skiing, you build a snowman, ice skate, you know, the activities that you can only do in that time to take advantage of them. And then, you know, sometimes with the lack of summer, you feel a little bit like less like yourself, a little bit crusty, dare I say, a little bit uglier. So self-tanning.
Okay, see, here's the thing.
I
I
enjoy
haven't
it
been
because it gives me a
self-tanning.
boost of confidence. It gives
Yeah,
me a boost of confidence. It
I
makes me
feel
still
that. I
feel
haven't been
summery and
self-tanning.
tan.
I've kind of been leaning into the paleness, and I'm kind of into it, besides the fact that I'm not. But, like, I don't really like the look of self-tan on me. Let me just tell you, it gives you the confidence boost. Like, you feel unstoppable. However, I don't like it. I love myself, like, with a natural summer glow because I think that's what I like about the summer, like, color. It's more glowy and, I don't know, it just looks, like, natural and fitting. I personally don't feel that way about self-tan for myself, so I haven't been self-tanning and I don't mind it. I honestly don't mind it.
Keeping my skin like glowy and moisturized
It's
and
more
not
about the
dry is like
glow
really
and the
important. It makes me feel the
hydration
best too.
and, like, it's your inner beauty
But I've
shining
been really
through.
prioritizing skincare, moisturizing my body, and tanning like once a week to keep up a little glow and moisture about me. And I think that helps because the last thing you want is to like feel bad during that time, you know, like physically not feel good or like yourself. All right, guys, that is going to be all for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next Monday.
We'll be back next Monday. We will miss... Guys, we'll miss you.
Bye.
Bye.